Doesn't it ever wake you in the middle of the night? The feeling that someday they will pass that foolish law, or one just like it, and come for you and your children.
It does indeed. What do you do when you wake up to that?
I feel a great swell of pity for the poor soul who comes to that school looking for trouble.
Why do you come here, Charles?
Why do you ask questions to which you already know the answers?
Yes. You're continuing search for hope. You know this plastic prison of theirs won't hold me forever. The war is still coming, Charles, and I intend to fight it. By any means necessary.
And I will always be there. Old friend, friend, friend.
Black Knight, Almighty Triple XL, coming in live and red for MacDiddy.com.
Begin. You ready?
Yeah, I'm always ready.
Check one, two, Fat Mac, Almighty Triple XL, live and direct from MacCity.com. We got another one. We got another one, man. Shit, so go ahead. Man, hold on. Let me see. So where you at? You in a nice, comfortable spot, man?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and, you know, it's going to be kind of like a gumbo show, man, a potluck mix. You know what I mean? My boy nigga Fuchsia's Tony Dreamer, a.k.a. Magneto, is going to chime in on a couple topics with me, man. You know, we starved y'all enough of his presence. It's time to go ahead and delve on in to the meat of some things. And my partner right here, he directed me to another one of Tariq Nasheed's podcasts. And once again, the brother, he does not fail to disappoint, man. That nigga, good Lord, boy, he is on some shit. That nigga is full of hubris and just all out, just arrogance, man. Some of the shit that nigga says is just off the wall, man. So I want to go ahead, I want to ask my boy Tony what he, you know, found kind of perplexing or distasteful or just illogical about some of the stuff he was saying. Can you lay the framework about the gist of this latest podcast that we was just listening to?
Well, you know, I think it was mainly he was trying to get across the issue. It's the same old issue. It's the same old narrative. Okay, you don't have any friends. We're in a war. White supremacy. Yada, yada. The system. White supremacy is coming to get you. That type of thing. And so they started off with the issue, and I'm just confused, man. I don't know how niggas became so thin-skinned.
Right.
You know, I don't understand it, but, you know, let's take everything on face value, you know. They started on this word about, okay, thug. Well, that's being used to describe, you know, black people. That's the new N-word. And I'm sitting up here, I'm surprised. Of course it's the new N-word.
Right.
What do you expect? And they said, well, white people are using it to describe black people, but they don't use it to describe white people. No, because the word thug is not used in their lexicon when they're describing their own. You can't strip words away from the relationship of power. And that's what I want to talk about more. I'm going to substitute the word power for white supremacy.
Okay.
Because in my assessment, I think that's more appropriate than the word white supremacy.
All right.
You know, I'm doing this shit to you because I can. So you said, well, they don't use it. Well, of course they're not going to use the word thug because that's a word that's popularized in your culture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I don't know of any white person that wrote an album called Thug Motivation.
Right.
You know, but Jeezy got an album called Thug Motivation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word is used within your culture. Now, let's be historically correct. The word comes from during that period of British imperial rule in India. Thug is the version of the word thuggy, which was a secret society of robbers and murderers.
Okay.
That's how the British, you know, described those people that were resisting their rule. But, you know, that the word as it's being used today is taken out of popular culture that's controlled by other people. You know, it's not even controlled by the people that are using it. So you can't divorce these words. These words don't occur in a vacuum.
Right.
You can't take them out of a relationship of power. I mean, let's be real about it. If I have a society, if I have a system where I get paid to lock you up, right?
Right.
I get paid to lock you up. I get an advantage from locking you up. I get an advantage politically, economically, and in every other manner, I'm going to encourage the use of that conduct. I'm going to encourage the use of words to describe you along those words of, you know, along the lines of that word. You see, so I don't understand why niggas are so shocked about that. I don't understand what don't you get? See, we are in a war, as you say, and we are.
Mm-hmm.
You have to expect that any and everything is going to be used to your disadvantage. So what the fuck are you crying about? You know? You sound like a bunch of fucking crying infants. Of course it's... You use the word, mm-hmm. First of all. You want to say it's that, but of course they're going to use a word if you're already using it to describe your ratchet nature.
Mm-hmm.
You don't control any media. It's my media. So I call you what the fuck I want to call you.
Mm.
You ain't going to challenge me for control of the airwaves. Shut the fuck up.
Man.
You see? Mm. So, I mean, it made no sense to me. I don't know what they're whining about. You know, what are you talking about? They're doing this because they can. Of course it's not going to be used to describe them. That's used to describe you. Now, are you going to challenge them? If you're not going to challenge them, shut the fuck up. Well, they don't call. Of course they're not going to call them that. If I have a vested interest in being unfair,
mm-hmm.
Why are you coming at me with all these moral dilemmas and these moral questions?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's tripping me out. Yeah, how they... the main thing about this shit is it's cracking me up. They don't call white people thugs. They don't call white people thugs. Of course they don't call white people thugs. Just like you saying, they have a vested interest in painting a bleak picture of your black ass. And, to boot, white people don't use the term thug when they talk amongst themselves.
No, they don't. It's not something that's used in their culture.
Right.
It's not something that they use amongst each other. It's something that they're getting from you, and because they're making you the centerpiece of popular culture for their own benefit, of course they're going to appropriate the terms, but you don't have the power to define anything. Mm. So even if you want to define power, mm. You're back to that word,
is the ability to define phenomenon and make it act in a desired manner.
Right.
That's the definition that Huey Newton gave of power. Now, let's see now. Let's apply this definition and let's put black folks in it. Okay?
Okay.
Yes, you can define phenomena, but can you make it act in a desired manner? Do you have that ability? Fuck no, you don't.
Okay.
Why? You don't control anything politically. You don't run shit economically. What did the motherfucker say in Training Day? You don't run shit, you just live here.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't run or control anything. And before that, it was the word nigga. I'm saying nigga. I ain't saying N-word. I'm saying nigga. Nigga.
Right.
That, you remember the movie Deep Cover, don't you?
Yeah, man. One of my favorites.
Remember when the white man, when he was recruiting them, he brought three black men in there. The first one, he said, well, what's the difference between a black man and a nigger?
Mm-hmm.
And the first light-skinned dude said, I don't know. The white man said, well, most niggers don't.
Mm. Right.
And the next, then he bought the black man. He said, well, what's the difference between the word, you know, what's the difference between a black man and a nigger? That black man jumped up and grabbed him by his tie. He said, next. And he asked Fishburne that same question. He said, what's the difference between a black man and a nigga? Fishburne he didn't let it bother him. You know, he came back with something real slick and he said, well, the difference between a black man and a nigga is the nigga is the one that would answer that question.
Boom. There we go. That's what it is. Yeah, man.
You know. So, in other words, you can't be so squeamish and shook up over words.
Mm-hmm.
You better deal with the actions. Deal with the underlying actions. Well, then they'll say, well, you know, that's not going to stop white supremacy. It doesn't matter what you do. You can pull your pants up or whatever. No, it's not going to stop them from doing that because ultimately it's about your response. They can sit there and call you names all day. They can sit there and call you nigga all day. You had a prison experience where you had more respect from the Aryans
because
of how you carried yourself than you did the niggas, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did that white man tell you? He said, you the first nigga I met not to act like a nigga.
Right. Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, to some extent, we understand that it's about marginalization. We understand that, you know, to a certain degree, at the end of the day, this is war.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is war, then there's no crying in war.
Right.
You know, there's no bitching about words in war. You better do something.
Mm-hmm.
You better fight. If you're not going to fight or throw down a challenge, shut the fuck up. You can sell 50 million DVDs.
Right.
But if you don't change the flow of money and power in American society, you'll just be hustling DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It means nothing. You getting upset about thug or you getting upset about nigga, if you ain't prepared to change it, then you better find a way to live with it. Find a way to survive.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're short on. The second portion of that podcast was when a woman called.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, she wasn't the most diplomatic. I'll give you that.
Right.
But it didn't deserve the retort that he threw down. She said that, you know, she was running her business. She's an independent agent like anyone else. And then she said, well, you know, she sold jewelry. And then she said, well, you know, we can do some practical solutions. She said we. She didn't say him. She said we.
Yeah.
So we could do some practical solutions. We can recycle. What are you doing? Do you have your own? Okay. That's when it turned combative for me.
Yeah.
When he started pointing at her. She was still talking about we.
Mm-hmm.
He turned the situation to her. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it was becoming hostile from jump. And she said, well, yeah, she had her own business. And she said, well, she indicated to him that her business wasn't doing that well, and so she was working. Mm-hmm. Oh, and he lost it. Oh, so you working for white supremacy.
Hold on. Time out. We got to rewind, and we got to lay down the proper groundwork first. We have to let the audience know that this lady called in first and told Nasheed that you're focusing in too much, way too much on white supremacy. White supremacy. Yes, white. Okay, now with that said, now the rest of it's going to make some sense that you're going to go ahead and lay down. Go ahead.
Yes, she did say when you're focusing too much on white supremacy, she was talking about action.
Right.
She told him that he was focusing too much on the word. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that back, Kai.
Right.
She did say that one of the criticisms he had, and she said that she bought all of his DVDs, that he was focusing too much on, you know, white supremacy. And that's what got his dandruff, so to speak. So she proceeded. What she was saying is we should concentrate more on action. And she laid down as an example, and he asked, well, what are you doing? And she said, well, I have my own business. And she was saying, well, what do you do? And she explained, I think she said she sold jewelry. But her job wasn't doing well. Her business wasn't doing well. And she told him that, you know, she had a job because, you know, her business wasn't doing well. And he exploded. Oh, so you work for white supremacy? She's like, yeah, I need to eat. He's like, you know, yeah, I have a job because, you know, pretty much her business, he said, well, black people are not patronizing my business, which is a criticism, you know, which he has given.
Right.
Black people don't patronize our own businesses. But also, it is about race. I'm like, huh? she's saying that, I don't see how he made that leap to want to use the example of black people not supporting their business to the issue. You know, it was a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So then he proceeded to go on the warpath, and he went after her. And she talked about, she said, we have all this, you know, garbage. We can recycle this garbage, you know, recycle this stuff in our community and, you know, possibly create jobs or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, that sounds like some raggedy shit. That sounds like some crackhead shit. And I'm like, okay, how moronic is that? Because waste management is a huge industry.
Okay.
There's a lot of money in waste management. So no, it's not. You go ask, who knows who BFI is? Nobody knows who BFI is, but those three letters are on a lot of dumpsters throughout the country.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? In other words, you can find, what the point she was making is that we can start right in our neighborhood and find business, cooperative business, that we can control. Well, I guess because she asked him the question about, you know, put it to him that he was focusing too much on white supremacy, that drew his ire, and he just went in on her to no end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he started suggesting that she was working with white supremacy because she had a job, I'm like, that's fucking backwards. By that definition, most black people would be working with white supremacy, including you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because last I checked, I don't recall any black people publishing those books that you wrote.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't recall any black people that own VH1. I don't recall any black people that own MTV.
Tell me, do you know the difference between a black man and a nigger?
No.
Most niggers don't. Next, please. Come on, have a seat. So, tell me, Officer Winston, what's the difference between a black man and a nigger?
Who the fuck do you think you're talking to?
Right. Thanks for coming in. So, Officer Stevens, tell me, do you know the difference between a black man and a nigger?
The nigger's the one that would even answer that question.
It's just motherfucking G.
No, man, I can't fuck with it right now.
Oh, man, I've been dealing with you for 3 motherfucking months. You ain't hit the pipe in front of me yet.
So what you saying, man?
I thank you, 5-0.
5-0. Man, I ain't no motherfucking cop.
Well, hit this motherfucker then.
Tonight's the night I get in some shit.
Yeah.
Deep cover on the incognito tip. Killing motherfuckers if I have to. Filling gaps too. Let your niggas know I'm coming at you. I guess that's part of the game.
but I feel for the nigga who think he just gonna come and change things with the swiftness. So get it right with the quickness and let me handle my business. Yo, I'm on a mission and my mission won't stop until I get the nigga maxing at the top.
I hope you get his ass before he drop.
Kingpin kicking back while his workers lay his rocks. Coming up like a fat rat. Big money, big paws, big bodyguards on his back. So it's difficult to get him.
But I got the hooker with somebody who knows how to get in contact with him.
Hit him like this and like that. Let him know that I'm looking for a big fat dope sack. What is the spin? So let's rush it. If you wanna handle it tonight, we'll discuss it. On a nigga's time and a nigga's place. Take my strap just in case one of his boys recognize my face. Cause he's a shiesty motherfucker. But I give some fuck, cause I'm going deep cover. Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on a undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on a undercover car. Creep with me as I crawl through the hood. Maniac lunatic calling Snoop Eastwood. Kicking dust as I bust fuck piece. And the motherfucking drug police. You already know I give a fuck about a cop. So why in the fuck would you think that it would stop? Plot, yeah, that's what we's about to do. Take your ass on a mission with the boys in blue. Dre,
what up, Snoop?
Yo, I got the feeling. Tonight's the night like Betty Wright. And I'm chilling, killing, feeling. No remorse, yeah. So let's go straight to the motherfucking source and see what we can find. Crooked ass cops that be getting niggas a gang of time. And now they wanna make a deal with me. Scoop me up and put me on they team and chill with me and make my pockets bigger. They wanna meet with me tonight at 7 o'clock.
So what's up, nigga?
What you wanna do?
What you wanna do?
I got the gauge of Uzi in my motherfucking 22. So if you wanna blast, nigga, we can buck them. If we stick them, then we stuck them. So fuck.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on a undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on a undercover car. 6:05 was the time on the clock when me and my homie bailed in the parking lot. The scene looked strange and it felt like a setup.
Better not be, cause if it is, they getting lit up.
Oh, here they come from the back and they lax. I'm checking for the gas, they strap. So what's up, Black?
Chill, let's hit a deal. If it ain't up to what you feel, then grab your steel.
Right, so what you motherfuckers gon' come at me with? Hope you ain't wantin' none of my grip, cause you can say that shit.
Guess what they told me?
We give you 20 G's if you snitch on your homie. We'll put you in a home and make your life plush. Oh yeah, but you gotta sell dope for us. Let me think about it. Turn my back and grab my gat and guess what I told him before I shot it. If you don't quit, yeah. If you don't stop, yeah. I'm letting my gat. Cause it's 187 on a undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on a undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on a undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on a undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on a undercover car.
Yeah, and you don't stop.
Cause it's 187 on a undercover car.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So that was a glaring contradiction. And then he went on to talk about this woman. I've actually got a criminal record, you know, talking about, you know, like, wait a minute, you can't talk about nobody's criminal record, dog. It's open. It's notorious. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If anything, both of y'all come from the same crooked straight. You know, so he took the opportunity to beat up on this woman and browbeat this woman. And then she made the cardinal mistake of asking or saying or suggesting that maybe you should take your proceeds and do a breakout seminar.
Right.
Oh, God, it was a wrap after that. the whole call just disintegrated and degenerated into madness.
Right.
She was talking and wouldn't shut up.
Mm-hmm.
He was muting her, yeah. And he was talking over her. Even when he gave her the floor to talk, he talked over her.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And then when it was his turn to talk, he was talking down to her. He was low-key insulting her,
okay,
and goading her. So it was just very destructive, you know. And I just find it shocking that, you know, how did we become so sensitive? You know, how do we, how are we just so sensitive to anything? We're so sensitive to criticism. You know, and I look at somebody like Louis Farrakhan. They've been criticizing him for the last 60 years.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But he doesn't even, for the most part, he won't even reply to that anymore. You know, if another black person is criticizing him, I've heard him say, well, look, I don't want to talk to you. You go get me your boss.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to waste my time trading insults with you, because that's what we're going to do. You're going to end up lobbying insults my way. I'm going to end up lobbying insults your way. And none of this is going to be constructive, and none of this is going to really help, you know, the community at large. Bring me the person who's sponsoring your show. I got respect for that, you know. What he's saying in essence is I'm not looking at you. I'm looking past you. You know, I ain't even thinking about that shit you're talking about. Bring me the man that's financing or underwriting your platform.
Right.
You see, that's much more productive to me. That, to me, is how you deal with power. I'm calling out the power behind you.
Right.
You know, and another thing that was interesting is when they got into the thing about solutions. Solutions. You know, they always talk about solutions, solutions. Well, people are always giving solutions. Everybody's giving solutions, but let's talk about how do we survive until these solutions take effect.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
And again, this is in a book. Go back to, you know, your movie, The Game of Thrones, I think it is.
Right.
It's in a book.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book. There's a book. They wrote down, the Black Panther Party has a book out called Survival Programs. In that book, they literally tell you, do this, do that. Find an abandoned house. Go into the house. Paint the house. Fix the plumbing. Move into the house. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It is a step-by-step. What it is a step-by-step instruction manual for how they did their survival programs. And they actually put this shit in the book to show you how to take over a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
They put this shit in the book to show you how to start cooperative businesses. It's in a book. I mean, step by step. No abstract, this is what you do. Step by step, it's in a book. And it's called Survival. It's sitting there in a book.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go to the library and pick it up. It's in a book.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I bristle when niggas start talking about, well, what's the solution? What's the solution? The solution's in the book. You see, but usually they're saying that just to shut people up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want you saying anything. They don't want you criticized. So they say, well, what's your solution? It's just a quick way to shut you up because they really don't want to hear your opinion, especially if you're not talking about white supremacy all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If everything out of your mouth is not white supremacy, then they want to come with that, well, what is the solution? You're not giving this. Motherfucker, the solutions are written down. You know. So, I mean, it's for me, it's this use of, you know, why are we so concerned about words instead of being concerned about action?
Well, the thing about me, when I was listening to the whole fracas, this is what I didn't like about it, of course. I didn't like the fact that the chick, you know, from my point of view, she wouldn't shut up. She kept talking, you know, and every time Tariq was trying to get his, you know, point across, bitch wouldn't shut the fuck up, man. And, you know, I got like a real bad pet peeve about people that don't shut the fuck up and want to overtalk you. True indeed, he did start overtalking her, you know, later on. But I think that was more so from a situation where he was just tired of the bitch running her mouth and shit. You know what I mean? And then, of course, I don't like how Tariq, like, he gets personal with the shit. You know, oh, you must have been a crackhead and you had kids, you know, when you were 17. And, of course, that's a legitimate gripe, you know, when it comes to fucked up things in the black community. You should not be having children that early if you can't take care of them. But it really didn't have nothing to do with the conversation at the time. You know what I mean? Of course, you're talking about jail. And then this chick, man, she telling him how he should be spending his money. You know what I mean? And, you know, of course the solution shit. You know, he put shit on the DVD about solutions, and niggas is always, what's the solution? What's the solution? It's just, niggas are just retarded, man. Niggas are just stupid, because it's like, a lot of the shit that could be remedied in the black community, you ain't gotta read it in a book. You know, going back to what Tariq was saying, you know, don't have kids when you're 17. Fucking graduate from high school. You know, just simple shit. Simple shit. But if, you know, if we're going to follow Tariq's logic a lot of times, well, he kind of shoots himself in the foot, because he'll say shit like, well, the kids can't graduate from high school because they're not getting a proper education. And I'm thinking to myself, really? You got to trust the white man. You got to go to the white man to get a proper education. You, as a parent, can't sit your child down and do, you know, the reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know what I mean? They make it seem like you got to have this big budget to educate children. And I don't believe that shit, man. I like, give them a fucking book, sit them down, say, read this book here. This is Shakespeare, nigga. Read this shit. This is Mein Kampf. Read this shit. You know what I mean? This is Animal Farm. Read this shit. It's just that simple. You don't have to have a big-ass budget going into education to basically turn the tide of stupid-ass nigga shit. You know what I mean? So the whole thing was just, I'm like, just, it's just a, how can I put it? You know, when Tariq does all that white supremacy shit, man, you know, it's just a slick way. Of course, me and you already know this. You know, no movement can survive without a devil. And that's what he's done. He's basically, you know, making his cheese, you know, off the boogeyman of white supremacy. And it's important for him to keep doing that to get keep that money rolling in. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm at a loss for words, man, because just like you said, niggas is real thin-skinned every time I'm on social media. And I'll go ahead and lay out something real slick on a post or whatever. And it's always some nigga chiming in, not even addressing the argument. He already throwing the insults. Ah, bitch, nigga, motherfucking nigga. I'm like, what? I'm like, seriously, man? You know, you this upset about what I said? You can't even hit me with an appropriate response. You're just going to start calling me names. And I dare say that a lot of these cats is getting this sort of vibe, this sort of energy from Tariq. You know what I mean? Because, you know, that's his go-to move. If he gets into a heated discussion, you know what I mean, and it's not necessarily going his way, then, you know, he starts pulling out his claws and it gets juvenile.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right.
But let's take all of this. I mean, let's be realistic here. Let's
right.
be practical. Because I'm about practicality.
Right.
You said, well, it doesn't take a budget. And you're right, it doesn't take a budget. But the dirty little secret is,
right,
most of them don't know.
Right.
They're not fit to be educated, no kid.
Right.
Because most of them, you got to remember, the black community is not a reading community.
Right.
So homeschooling is not going to be a practical solution in every case because most of the parents are worse than the kids. Mm-hmm. When I was mentoring children in Michigan, man, my right. kids were never the problem that I was. It was their fucking parents.
Yeah.
So once again, we back to, you know, internal problems,
mm-hmm.
internal discipline within the black community. We're back to fixing ourselves mm-hmm. as part of the solution. So getting them a book, Mein Kampf, I'd be willing to bet you, you walk outside your door tomorrow, go up to the first 10 black people you see and say, well, what is Mein Kampf? And they can't tell you that shit.
Right.
They can't.
Right.
So if they can't tell you, they're not fit to sit down and break it down to no kid.
Mm-hmm.
In the black community, we don't prize math and science. We prize sports and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality.
Right.
So, you're right, it doesn't take a big budget to do it, but it's not mm. practical for them to do it either. So, if the only place that they're going to get educated is where? In the white man's schools. Why? Because you don't have any schools.
Mm.
So, if you have to exist in the white man's school, you're going to have to draw the line somewhere. Mm. Okay, this is what you have to learn. This is what you have to learn. If your children have to get a tutor, you find them a tutor, but that's the game in town. Until you have an independent black school, what else are those kids going to do?
Right.
You have to survive, and that's my point. See, we can talk all this, but in the meantime, what do you do to survive until the solution takes effect? And that's where he's deficient at.
Mm-hmm.
You can lay a solution, but how do those kids survive in the meantime? They're going to have to go to the white man system because they have nowhere else to go.
Right.
They have no, it's the same as the pharmacy. Why are they in the pharmacy? In CVS? Why? Because it's close and they got nowhere else to go. Mm-hmm. You're talking about survival.
Right.
Same as that young lady. She had to eat. Her business ain't making money, so she's working because it's survival. Yes, she wasn't the most diplomatic. Yes, she did talk over. let's play the devil's advocate. He's always telling black people this is what you should do. She didn't stand up there as no leader. He did.
Right.
He's on the internet telling black people what they should do. He's on the internet telling black people to get their political and economic game together. Well, if you're going to tell black people and you're going to dictate to black people and make a DVD to dictate to black people and tell them what they should be doing, in all fairness, mm-hmm. should she be allowed to make a suggestion? She didn't sit herself out there as no leader. You did.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't make Hidden Colors. You did.
Right.
She didn't make three editions of Hidden Colors. You did. She's not coming with a Hidden Colors 4. You are.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You're networking with people and trying to effectuate a solution. So you can't be thin-skinned. They done caught every single leader. And I'll come back to Louis Farrakhan because he's the only one alive right now. That man has been called everything under the sun for the last 60 years. You have to take that shit that comes with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
That shit comes with the territory. If you're going to hold yourself out like that, then you have to be able, you're holding yourself to a higher standard than the average person. If you don't want that standard, then you sit down and you shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and once again, devil's advocate, in his defense, I think what's going on with him is I feel that he feels he's put in so much more work than all these people that's criticizing him. I think, and I can feel him on this, I think he's saying to himself, the audacity of this nigga right here telling me what I should be doing when he feels that he's on the front lines putting in the work while other motherfuckers are sitting on the sidelines talking shit. I think
agree.
That's, yeah.
Agree, but see, if you do that, that, again, that goes back, that's across the board, man.
Right.
That's part of the game, dog.
Right.
That's part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
People are always going to criticize you when you out there tell you, people are always going to hold you up to higher standards that you're not, that they're not living.
Mm-hmm.
People are always going to be hypocrites.
Right.
So, okay, maybe he had a right to be sore, but you suck it up.
Right.
You suck it up. You suck it up. You are here. She's not going to Baltimore taking pictures in front of a ripped out ATM.
Okay.
You are.
Right.
You're going down there trying to speak to people and tell them this and wanting to charge them, by the way, and tell them this and tell them that. You're holding yourself to this standard.
Okay.
So you got to take everything that come with that. You have to take everything. If it's an ugly picture, it's not fair, true indeed. But you take everything that come with that.
Right.
That's the game. That's the game. So, although I can certainly understand his position, but he's going to have to shake that off. Well, Dr. Umar shakes that off.
Okay.
He gets the same thing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
There was a woman that called him on the radio and said, well, why can't we see, the school fund? Do you have a place where you can show the school fund?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So he gets that criticism. He says, okay, this is one of these reactionary Negroes. I can't put this up here because I will be violating the integrity of the people who are giving, to this fund because I would be exposing their information. You see, instead of just retaliating and calling, of course he called reactionary Negroes, but it's not to the extent, when you're calling people coons. And talk about you need a seat on the coon train and playing that fucking coon train is coming. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I didn't dig that, at the end of the interview. I definitely didn't dig how he did her at the very end by playing the coon music. I'm like, how the fuck did she do anything to warrant getting on the coon train just because she disagreed with you, on some tidbits of y'all's little argument? Just every time, there's some sort of disagreement, you a coon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Granted that, okay, she wasn't the most diplomatic. Maybe she was a little bit accusatory.
Right.
Maybe she was out of pocket, but, these things happen.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
These things at worst happen, so you need to think about this if, this is what you're going to do, okay? Mm. If you're going to just fall back and just start... name calling people. You want to play the dozens every time somebody disagrees with you. Then perhaps you probably shouldn't be in this position. See what I'm saying?
Right.
But when it comes to these names. See, you have a problem, and the hypocrisy, you have a problem with them using the word thug to describe black people, but you don't have a problem using the word cool
right.
to describe black people who disagree with you. Mm-hmm. What kind of sense does that make?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, he has some glaring contradictions, man, in the way he's doing his shit, man. You know, he's supposed to be, you know, all about the blackness and the melanin, but he calling people crispy.
Yeah. And you notice the only people he's attacking is black people.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It seems like his mortal enemies are black people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kills me about these pro-black niggas.
Mm-hmm.
They're only enemies when it comes to drawing blood on the real power. They don't touch them.
Mm-hmm.
They spend most of their time drawing blood on black people.
Right.
Now, in some instances, there are some people that are going to be your enemy because they're sick and they're ate up with the psychology of oppression. I get that.
Right.
But he just attacks people that just maybe just don't understand the art. Like that woman. There was no reason to call that woman a coon.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason for that. But that's a contradiction. They spend most of their time attacking other black people while they're trying to ride, you know, for the young people. He tells them, Uncle Tariq is riding for you hard. Well, really? How?
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, how?
Right.
But let's just, okay, let's give you your DVDs, okay? Well, you wrote for us. A sacrifice?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to give lectures? You want to give and demand high? Okay, whatever. But you make most of your money from white. I mean, if we get real about it, you make most of your money from white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how white supremacy is holding him back and white supremacy is so, you know, prevalent. You know, he seems to be doing quite well for himself. You would think with the popularity of Hidden Colors, which is extremely pro-black, you think that white supremacy would try and put a stop to that.
Well, again, that's another contradiction.
Because, right.
See, that would ultimately, that makes him no different than the preachers.
Right.
And that's the real talk. But he'll say, well, you know, I'm not talking about get down on your knees and pray. Well, to me, I don't see, you're just using history instead of religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay, so, well, I've got Dr. Claude Anderson. Yeah, you got Dr. Claude Anderson and those other people. And you're using them by association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're using their credentials and credibility by association, and you're paying them. Okay, fine. Big deal.
Mm.
You know, but I really think that at a certain level, when it comes to playing the cultural police and chastisement of black people, you really need to back up.
Yeah, he's he be like you know, me and you catch him all the time doing some backward shit, just like he'll tell motherfuckers, yeah, man, you know, how else we gonna get our point across if we don't ride? And of course, he kind of backtracked off that and he remained neutral, you know, later on. He was like, well, I'm not saying I'm for or against riding, but I'm just saying, you know, if it wasn't for riding, I even think he's attributing to what the so-called, was that the police that got indicted in Baltimore, I think he's saying that probably never would have happened if motherfuckers didn't riot. I think he insinuated that a couple times. But later on down the line, when it comes to him, you know, dealing with white supremacy and motherfuckers pushing his buttons, you know, he endorses that you stay calm and cool and you don't break shit. You know what I mean? And you just go ahead and, you know, you use your brain and you become strategic and methodical. You know what I mean? When it comes to him, that's, you know, that's the way to go. But when it comes to, you know, shit like happening in Baltimore, you know, he seems to be like, hey, whatever's clever, do, you know, do what you do. You know, he's trying to insinuate that might be a viable reaction. I'm like, well, when it comes to you, Tariq, you know, you say, hey, I stay calm and cool. But when it comes to these niggas in the streets, Uncle Tariq say, you know, hey, tear some shit up.
Yeah, because that, you know, that's hurting white supremacy.
Right.
You tear it up because that's hurting white, and there's nothing further from the truth. And that was emotion. That wasn't strategic. That was rampant emotionalism.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? There was nothing strategic.
by rioting.
Right.
It just isn't. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're talking about civil disobedience and rebellion, fine.
Right.
One of the things that I like, Dick Gregory said something about Malcolm X, and it really moved me. He said that, you know why he liked Malcolm X? He said, I like Malcolm X because Malcolm talked like white folk talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't, you know, trying to say Malcolm was a white man. He was saying Malcolm's approach is the way people really approach the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm X's approach was, if you're wrong, if you're right, and they're wrong, kill them.
Okay.
What I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you're right, kill him. He said, Malcolm X talked like John Wayne and the rest. If you're right, kill him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, realistically, now somebody else, you know, can shoot George Zimmerman in the face, but we can't seem to do nothing.
Yeah. That's funny as hell.
See what I'm saying?
All these niggas
can't seem to do shit.
Yeah, all these niggas talk about how hard they are, and I receive George Zimmerman. Ain't no nigga lifted a finger to do shit to George Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
All these white
Somebody
folks.
Else shot him in the face.
Shit.
Impotence personified. You can't do shit to him. Somebody else got to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And then the one person that tried to do something low key, they criticized him. You know, Spike Lee gave out the address. It was the wrong address, but I knew what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
And they came down on Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
They came down with CNN and the white man on Spike Lee.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Spock trying to give you some game. Look, this is where this motherfucker lives. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's a whole lot better than tearing your shit up.
But of course,
it will get the message across because you got the motherfucker that harmed you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have inflicted justice for the injustice that was done to you.
Police brutality has its place. Police brutality, has this goddamn place. Like that cat that carjacked and then shot at the police.
Oh, I catch you in my car.
Are you supposed to kick his ass? You kick his ass. I mean, what you supposed to do with somebody carjack you and then shoot at you? Disgusting? I'm kicking your ass. On NBC.
I'm gonna take it.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get your point across right there. Look, you put your hands on our children, we put our hands on you. And when he did that, they turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
The pro black niggas were leading the charge.
Mm. What was their rationale behind that? Why they say that was bad?
The fuck if I know. They were just the first ones leading the charge. They were saying he didn't do anything.
They were saying that Spike Lee didn't do anything.
The address he gave was incorrect. He didn't do anything. He just gave an address.
You're saying they was belittling his attempt.
Attempts.
Okay, all right. I got you. Mm-hmm.
But that still doesn't make any fucking sense.
Okay.
Because he did something. He was showing you how to handle the problem.
Right.
You go deal with the motherfucker who caused the disruption.
Mm.
Then we can worry about politics and be worried about economics. That's a long-term solution. But they let this motherfucker get up, get off, and ride out the state. And some other motherfucker shot him in the face. So we can't seem to do shit. You know, we can't do anything that adequately gives an outlet to the frustration other than shit that results in us being fucked up 10 or 20 years down the road. That's
right.
Impotence personified. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That ain't strategic. Ain't shit strategic about that.
Right.
That's not using your head.
Shit. Well, I was saying, Tariq was saying that.
Yeah, I know that. That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you.
No.
How ridiculous that is.
No, I'm saying that Tariq was saying, what, you ever hear him talk about his personal run-ins with the law?
Yeah, I hear him talking about how strategic, how you got to do that shit.
Yeah.
That ain't what he told them to do. When Spike was being strategic.
Right.
He didn't say nothing about Spike being strategic.
Right. Okay.
Nobody said nothing about Spike Lee. Instead, they attacked him. Attacked him. The only man that had the balls to make Malcolm X and to make movies about black people, that's the very person they're attacking.
Shit.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So when they, you know, when they start, and these people show you strategy, and you don't recognize it when you see it, but you know how to recognize it for you, but you gonna tell other motherfuckers to do stuff that's counterproductive. You see what I'm saying? But when it comes to you, oh, you got all the sense in the world, you know?
Right.
You got all this game.
On one hand, he says that, shit, if you gotta ride, you gotta do what you gotta do, you know. But when it comes to him dealing with white supremacy, he cool, calm, and collected. And I'm like, come on, nigga. Come on. But like I said, he tried to backpedal off of it, because I think during the Ferguson riots, he kind of came out like more pro riot than anything. But then when the whole Baltimore shit jumped off, you know, he did this neutral thing. I'm not saying I'm for or against. I'm just saying that it is hurting white supremacy. You know, so, but when he went ahead and put that, but it is hurting white supremacy, that kind of let me know, of course, well, I still kind of know your stance if you're saying that you're not for or against, but it is hurting.
No.
Oh, shit. You're like, okay, man. Okay. Shit.
No.
As a collective,
it's not playing to the crowd, though.
Yeah, I mean, he doing what he got to do to get that money, man. You know, because for me, a lot of times I sit back and I think, do this nigga really believe this shit, or is he just trying to get paper? You know what I mean? Because, you know, I always thought that, you know, there's a big difference between having knowledge and wisdom. You know what I mean? And maybe he's just a cat that he has, you know, a substantial amount of knowledge, but he just, you know, he falling short of the wisdom aspect a little bit. Either that, or he just, you know, he know what he's saying is bullshit, and he's just trying to get paid. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you never really know. I'm just looking at, you know, what he's doing.
Right.
And to me, from what I've seen, again, not taking away from his successful franchise, because it is successful, but it just seems as though when it comes down to, you know, the pragmatism of his solutions, you just get mixed messages from it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You get mixed messages from it.
I'll give you another one. Like, he'll get on and he'll talk shit about Alex Jones. And I don't know if most of my listeners should be familiar with Alex Jones. And Alex Jones is big on government conspiracies. The government, conspiracy. And I've heard Tariq blast Alex many a time talking about, oh, listen to this shit, man. The government this, the government that, government this, government that. Get the fuck out of here with all that government shit. And I'll be like, nigga, what? How are you any different? How are you any different, Tariq? Yeah, I'm like, nigga, y'all do the same shit. So I'm like, how you go talk shit about Alex? You know what I mean? Because I even heard, you know, Tariq call him a fear monger. Oh, he put fear in people. He gets government this, and government go come and get us, and government. I'm like, nigga, you do the same shit. Every time I turn around, it's the big, bad white supremacy boogeyman. White supremacy. And I'd be like, man, niggas is actually sitting back listening to Tariq, and they like, you know, Tariq is real good at, you know, it just was subliminal shit. Because when niggas call in and they talking to him, you know, and I peep this, right? You know, average nigga ain't going to really peep this, but, you know, just from a subliminal context, when they call in, they automatically addressing him as King Flex. Well, what's up, King Flex? King Flex? I'm like, man, ain't no way I'm addressing no nigga as King. You know, that's just me. You know what I'm saying? I got a big problem. When I go to court, I hate standing when they say, all rise for the judge. You know what I mean? That's how deep I am, and just, I don't want to bow before no man. You feel me? And I'm just, you know, but they like, King Flex, King Tariq, King, King. And I don't think a lot of niggas don't really understand how deep that is. You know, he on some subliminal, you know, ass whooping shit with these niggas. A lot of these niggas out here, they can't really match wits with that nigga, man, because you know what he doing on some subliminal shit for real.
Well, yeah, that, but that's also a standard form of brainwashing, too.
Right, right.
Now that you say that,
right,
it makes sense that, like, he humiliates them.
Right.
Because, you know, that's what you do, that's what these niggas do with these bitches.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The worse they treat them, the more they love them.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the more he clown them, and the more he play that little background music, whether it's Lionel Richie or Brian McKnight or the Coon Train, the more he do that, it's like the more he abuse them, the more they love him.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's again, it's a standard brainwashing technique. It's like the way you get people to follow them is to make them feel guilty for loving you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's some sick shit, but that's just a standard tactic, you know, of getting someone's allegiance. I believe you were telling me one time of a book you were reading about, you know, sexual slaves,
mm-hmm.
you know, how to make women into sexual slaves during any different trauma, during any period of trauma,
mm-hmm.
you know, you engage in intercourse with them during a period of trauma, and it sort of binds them to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You're taking advantage of the trauma. You're taking advantage mm-hmm. of their guilt and their feelings. He does that, like you said, on a subliminal or psychological level with the people that call in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that, you know, he abused, because some of them call in and just say, hey, Flex, I just want to give you a shout-out, man, because I appreciate what you're doing for us and all that, man, putting that game down. I got all your DVDs and peace. You know?
Yeah. Shit, man.
Like them niggas, but yeah. to the ones that call in, you know, and maybe they get a little long-winded or whatever, and they ask a question they don't quite understand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that may be a bit intellectually touched, you know, he abused them.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? He abused them, and when it seems like when he does that, you know, the people that follow him in his cult of personality become more fanatic.
Okay.
You know, it deepens their resolve to him. It's funny how that works, but that's just how it is. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the things I've seen, I think, again, you know, he may mean well.
Mm-hmm.
I just think at a certain level he's immature. That's me personally.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of immaturity as far as how he deals with and handles people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he may change in another 20 or 30 years, I don't know.
Right.
But I know that, you know, a lot of the shit he's doing now is unnecessary in terms of all the name calling, you know, and, you know, taking, you know, not being objective in an argument. You know, when he said that woman was working for white supremacy, she was like, yeah, because I got to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, a standard way, if you can't get access to loans, or you can't get access to venture capital, the way most people fund their businesses is they take money from their jobs to put into their, you know, their business
mm-hmm.
enterprise. I mean, that's standard. That's common sense. People do that every day.
Right.
You know, so to assign her to working for white supremacy when she can't get support from her community, which is a standard criticism, it just didn't make sense. It didn't make common sense for him to jump all over her for her making that point.
Right. Yeah, the only time I chastise a nigga for working for white folks is if you have a so-called super-duper ultra-pro-black nigga talking about whitey this, whitey that, and he ain't got shit to show for anything except for the fact that he worked for the very same people he claimed he hate, then that's the only time I grill a nigga. I'm like, look, man, you going around talking all this shit about white folks, but nigga, you work for white folks. You know what I'm saying? If you was really a diehard, staunch pro-black nigga, you'd have your own shit. You'd be doing your own shit. So you ain't got to be up under whitest thumb. You know, so I don't really take hardly any nigga serious that's always running their mouth and bumping their guns about the white devil and white man, the white man, the white man, while you punching the clock for the white man. Nigga, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? But this chick, she wasn't on that. You know what I mean? She was just basically just making some standard, some generalized statements about, you know, what we can do to get free, you know, and to do our own thing and become self-sufficient. You know what I mean?
But interesting, yes, I
right.
agree.
Yeah.
But you know what? The one thing I find interesting, man.
What's up?
They never say how any of these drug dealers are working for the white man.
Of course not.
You see what I'm saying?
Nah.
And that's record. That's on wax. I mean, mm-hmm. that's you can't even deny that anymore.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Everybody knows that network is not being run by black people. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet nobody calls them on the carpet. And so when they create a degenerate culture around that enterprise that they don't control, that's being controlled by the white man,
mm-hmm.
and all the words, the culture, the lexicon, and the music comes out of that, you see, you create this, and then you get mad when they use it against you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just got to just be 100, man, and just say, like, the reason why this happens is because black people in general just are not smart people, man. How can you not come to any sort of other conclusion? Because I dealt with that shit when I was in prison. You know, the logic behind these niggas was incredible. It was like, nigga, you oppressing us, and you doing this, and you doing that. And I'd be like, nigga, I'm feeding my babies, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And they be... But, you know, when you propose that same sort of logic to them, you know what I mean? Where they, because they would always say, well, nigga, I had to do what I had to do, you know, to feed my kids. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when
you
I hit him.
You're going to get mad at the nigga for punching the clock for doing what he had to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, nigga, so how are you coming down on me because I work in this motherfucker? You know what I mean? I'm doing what I got to do to feed mine. But all of a sudden, you know, you supposed to be morally superior to me, nigga, because, you know, you were selling dope in the hood to feed your family. But I come in here, punch a clock, so I can feed my family. You know what I mean? It was just crazy, man, to just listen to these niggas' logic. It's like, you niggas, y'all motherfuckers is retarded, man. Fuck. And, go ahead.
No, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, and not to mention the fact that, like I said, what you doing is way more detrimental than what the fuck I'm doing. Granted, I didn't like working in the prison. Granted, I didn't like putting cuffs on my brothers. I didn't like doing none of that shit. I went in there with the best intentions to try to help these niggas, man. But, man, the more I worked in there, you know, the more I learned. I'm like, you know how it is, you know, the old saying, you can't save them. You know, when we talking about these hoes. Same way with them niggas, man. You can't save them, man. You can't save them. You got to just let these niggas do what they do. Because, shit, them motherfuckers will drag you down in a whirlpool, a cesspit of just all kinds of... man. I got stories for days. But you understand what I'm talking about?
I do. And to piggyback on your point, somebody will come to you and then put it back on you to my what you doing. You know, why you helping to oppress us? You know, your black kids gotta eat too.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But when you hit them, well, if you weren't doing what you were doing, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you weren't out there getting black people addicted to drugs,
mm-hmm.
then I wouldn't be here putting the cuffs on you.
Right.
I would be out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you come at them like that, they're shook. You know, like you said, the logic is backwards. Tommy Sotomayor has a T-shirt that says, "Where's Darren Wilson when you need him?"
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give me a T-shirt that says, "Where's Jeff Brown when you need him?"
Three. Sometimes.
Yes. It is I, says me. And all who agree are more than three because they're weak.
Yes.
Yo, I'm in the house now for sure. Because I want to talk about the hearts of men. Who knows what evil lurks within them. But let's take a travel down the blind side and see what we find on this path called
Stranded on Death Row. So duck when I swing my shit. I get rugged like raw head rest with fat tracks that fits the gangster type. When I recite, kinda lethal. Niggas know the flow that I kick, there's no equal. I'm murdering niggas, yo. And maybe because of the tone I kicks when I grip the mic and kick shit, niggas can't fuck with. So remember, I go hardcore and slam the respect like a sensei. Whoop ass like Van Damme. So any nigga that claim they bossing, why don't you bring your ass on over to Crenshaw Slauson? Take a walk through the hood. We up to no good. slanging them things like a real OG should. I'm stacking and macking and packing a tin, so when you're slipping, I slip the clipping, but ain't no set tripping, cause this death row rolling like the mafia. Think about whooping some ass, but what the fuck stopping you? Ain't Nathan but a buster. I'm stranded on death row from pumping slugs and motherfuckers. Now you know you're outdone. Fill the shotgun, corrupt inmates, cell block one.
No prevention from this lynching of sorts. You're a victim from my drive-by of thoughts. No extensions, all attempts are to fail. Blinded by the light, it's time you learn quail from a lunatic. I'm deaf like arsenic when I kick a wicked bat. Dr. Dre will kick the scratch with treachery. My literary form will blast and totally surpass the norm. Not a storm, plural, make it many storms when I'm vexed. I fight leg, necks, and arms in this dimension. I'm the presenter and the inventor and the tormentor. The range like the hillside strangler, MC Mangler, tough like Wrangler. I write a rhyme hard as concrete, step to the heat and get burned like mesquite. So what you wanna do? The narrator RBX, cell block two.
Rage, lyrical murderer, stranded on death row, and now I'm serving a lifetime sentence. There'll be no repentance, since it's the life that I choose to lead. I plead guilty on all counts, that the ball bounce where it may. It's just another clip into my AK. Buck 'em down with my underground tactics. Facts and stacks of clips on my mattress. Bed frame, there's another dead dame laying lame. Put the shame, who's to blame? Me, the lady of rage. A woman coming from the DEAT agent. ROW taking no shit. So flip and you're bound to get dropped. It's 187 on motherfuckers, don't stop. Handcuffed as I bust, there'll be no debate. It's rage.
Hey yo, stepping through the fog and creeping through the smog. It's the number one nigga from the hood, doggy dog. Making videos, now I stay in Hollywood. Busting raps for my snaps, now they call me Eastwood. Dre is the doctor and my homie, little nigga. Warren G is my hand and my hands on the trigger. Shooting at the holes with the game that I got. Sent to death row, cause I wanted to make a grip and serving my rocks. And I'm still serving for mine. Peace to my motherfucking homies doing time. In the P and N county jail. Mobbing with your blue zone, mad as hell. And you're saying fuck the police. And all the homies on the streets is all about peace. And it's driving the cops crazy, but ain't nothing but a black thing, baby. I'm not flagging, but I'm just sagging. I bet you don't wanna see the D-O-double-G. And you can't see the D-R to the E or my motherfucking homie D-O-C. You know you can't fuck with my motherfucking DJ. That's my homie and we call him Warren G. And you don't stop, doggy dog. Break them down with the motherfucking dog pound. That's the only way we'll beat them, man. We gotta smoke them, then choke them like the motherfucking Peter, man. It's like three into the two and two into the one. Cell block four piece, doggy dog's done.
Yo, now you know the path I'm on. You think you're strong? See if you can travel on. Cause all in the weak will try to speak. Those who are quiet will always cause riots. There's three types of people in the world. Those who don't know what happened, those who wonder what happened, and people like us from the streets that make things happen.
Tell me, do you know the difference between a black man and a nigger?
The nigger's the one that would even answer that question.